thinking about the songs we sing this morning about being redeemed and how we were redeemed, or how we are redeemed, by the blood of the Lamb. This is a message of Christianity. We have been set free. We're no longer slave to ourselves. We're no longer slave to sin. We're no longer slave to the devil, because Jesus paid the price and he set us free. He redeemed us. From the reading of the Word of God this morning, what do we learn? Jesus came to give the message, the final message, the final truth, which is the message of love. You want to be a redeemed? You must love. Why? Because you will be like your Father who is in heaven. Our Father in heaven loved us enough that he sent his Son to redeem us. We must love. Not only love those who love us, because even sinners know how to love those who love them, but to love our enemy. The message of Christianity is so powerful, it is so unique, that there's no other belief in the world can even get any close to that. You love those who hate you. And if he slap you on your right cheek, give him the other one so he can slap you again. This is the message of Christianity. This is the gospel. We must love even our enemy. When you get to Islam, there's a new message. When you get to Islam, there's this new teaching. Now, I don't think the Christian strong believers in the Word of God will be deceived by any other message, no matter who is the messenger and no matter what is the message. As he always teaches us, if you work in the bank, you don't study every counterfeit, you just study the real. And if you know the real very well, you will never fall in any counterfeit. It doesn't matter. But the sad thing about America, that we are so ignorant of Islam that even when people come and tell us anything about Islam, which is not true, we believe them to be telling us the truth. And the problem is not we do not know too much about Islam, and we believe the lies Muslim teaches us about this new gospel, the new Islam. The problem is we do not know our Christianity. Because once again, if you know the real money, no matter what shape or size or color, the new counterfeit, you'll figure it out. Straight Wave Grace Ministry is a traveling ministry. The name of our ministry, as you see on the screen here, actually comes from these two verses. The first verse is Quran chapter 1, verse 5. Where Muslims pray to Allah, guide us to the straight way. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. What do they really say in that prayer? And what do we really should do about their prayer? Because believe it or not, as Muslims continue to live as Muslims in America, around the world, they repeat that line of this prayer here with the rest of the verses of Quran chapter 1 17 times a day. And they never hear the answer. Why? Because we as a Christian do not know that they're here. We do not know what they believe. We do not know what their agenda. And we as a Christian forgot the Great Commission. Christ commanded us as believers to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to Afghanistan and Uzbekistan and all these country Muslim names, which we know of, we don't know even about, and tell the people there about the love of Jesus. If we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we no longer belong to us, but we belong to him. We love it in America to call Jesus Savior, but we don't want to call him Lord. If you are redeemed, you have been bought with his precious blood. That means you no longer belong to you. That means you need to go to tell the Muslims that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They are praying, guide us, O Allah, to the straight way. And they never heard about the only true way, Jesus Christ, because we as a Christian did not fulfill the Great Commission. It's shameful to see Muslims coming to America. We do not have to go to them. They're coming to us. And it is shameful that the church, until today, 19 years after September 11, have no clue what Muslims believe or why they're here. This is the study which I'll be covering today, Lord is willing. This is my beloved wife, Vicky, and she say hello to all of you. She used to travel with me all the time, but the last 2 years, she turned her back against me, and she no longer like me. No. Last 2 years, she take care of her mama, 92 years old, and she made it her own ministry. and I 100% support her. So I travel alone, no longer in my fancy RV, but in that small, tiny car, which has 330-some thousand miles, and I'm working to keep it for another 100,000. Hopefully, then her mama will be with the Lord, not asking her to die or anything. But if that happened, and then me and my wife will drive and go back in our RV. So keep us in your prayer. Listen to that very important message, which was written last 2,000 years, which is alive today as it was in Paul's days.
I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
What is Islam? It is exactly what Paul warned us 2,000 years ago. It is the same as Mormonism or any other cult within Christian beliefs. It is about a new message. It is about a counterfeit to our Christian belief. It's about a gospel does not fit with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about a man by the name Muhammad. Even Paul is telling us, if me, Paul, or one of the apostles, and we're not talking about a guy by the name Muhammad, if I come to you again and I tell you, here is a new message, here is what the new gospel I want you to believe in, let me be cursed. And so you will be cursed if you believe in that new message. What do we know about Muhammad in America? Prophet Muhammad. How do I know he is Prophet Muhammad? It's very simple. Because the textbooks said so. It's been 17 or 18 years, 2 years after September 11, when Mr. George W. Bush blessed the Muslims by giving them the children of America. Here is my children, take them and teach them about your prophet. It was 4 days after September 11 when Mr. George W. Bush went to the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the Muslim Brotherhood of America, who just happened to wear suits and ties, and he praised Allah, and he praised the prophet of Islam, and he praised Islam. When I saw him do that speech, I said, America, goodbye. When I see Ned Howard standing behind him, just behind him, and Ned Howard, the head of care, with a smile on his face, I believe he is a man who wrote that stupid speech to our president to give to the American people. I have the videos. I can show it to you. Why? Because now Mr. George W. Bush lays the foundation for the church and for the Christian and for the people of America to believe in the new gospel. And not one preacher in America, and I say it again, not one preacher in America, and if there is one, please let me know so I will take you out of the list. Not one preacher in America said, sir, you are giving us a new gospel, you're giving us a counterfeit, Muhammad is not a prophet, Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion, it is a savage cult, and how dare are you to do this to us while there maybe some people are still alive under these towers. Years go by, and the Muslim went to our public schools, and they're teaching our children that there is nothing wrong with the new angel, there's nothing wrong with the new prophet Muhammad, there's nothing wrong with the new gospel of Islam, and let's all get along, because otherwise you're an Islamophobe, and you're a hate monger, and you're a racist, and you're an evil. No, let them be cursed, but not the church. Let them be cursed, but not me. I will never sugarcoat Islam, and I will never water down Christianity to appease nobody. The true nature of Islam. Have any of you attended my speak last night? So, none of you. Oh, my dear brother, of course, you were heard. The true nature of Islam. What do Muslims believe? Brother Jim sent me an email. Usama, I want you to speak for me in this meeting last night. I said, I would love to. And here's the topic, the true nature of Islam. That's a neat topic. And then he gave me four subtitles, and Lord have mercy. And I read each one of them. It's like, you want me to speak about what do Muslims believe in an hour and a half? But he gave me four of them. So I'm going to do my best to cover at least one and the rest to be covered tonight. We're not going to go over the 2 hours, the total, okay? But don't you dare think that now you learn about the true nation of Islam by listening to my one and a half hour speech here. It's a speech. That doesn't even do any good to the subject. So I'm giving you a little, I'm opening your eyes a little bit. Now you do your homework. First of all, take notes of what I'm teaching you. Maybe I'm lying. I'm glad this is recorded so you can listen to it again and investigate and go in depth and learn more. Get some of my books. Get some other people's books. We are literally cheapening our freedom so much in America that we're not willing to buy a book for $20 to educate ourselves about the savage cult, the cult of Islam. Let me remind you, your ancestors died. You know what died is? They shed their blood and they died to give you the freedom you have today. I'm talking about the freedom to live in America. Our spiritual freedom, it was cost, very cost, that the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross that would be set free from our sins. Now, to live in America, your ancestor died. And the American people are not willing to spend $20 to read and educate themselves about the topic of Islam. Let me just give you one simple verse in the scripture. My people are destroyed for lack of food. No, for lack of money. No, for lack of water. No, for lack of spending $20 and read a book. Knowledge. Because trust me, the longer the American people, especially the church, the longer the church continue to be, and I hate to say that word, and people don't like me for saying that word, but I have to say it, even if I will not come back again to speak to you. The American people, as long as they continue stupid, the Muslims will take over this country. The church, as long as the church continues to be stupid about the topic of Islam, for sure the Muslims take over this country. That's why now we find churches all over America inviting the Muslims to speak in their pulpits, not far away from here. Because you do not know. Knowledge equal living healthily, living right before God. No knowledge equal destruction. You think about that. All right, now we teach our children in our public schools in America about the pillars of Islam. That's the earliest stage what they teach. So I'm going to talk about these pillars of Islam this morning and expose to you the lies in it. By the way, we have another study. It's called Lies in the Textbooks. That will recover 15 lies. I hope and I pray some of you will like me and you will call me back sometime in the future so I can do a study for a good 3-4 nights to cover lies in the textbooks so that you will literally have gray hair or no hair like me. You will not believe what are we teaching our children in our public schools about the Bible because it's written by Muslims. What we teach our children about the Quran or about Jesus or Muhammad, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, what Muslims believe, and on, 15 lies. But this is nothing we talk about in our presentation, lies in textbooks, and I choose to put here to see. It's 5 pillars. Wait a minute, 7 pillars. Is it 5 or 7? Well, they teach our children 5, but in reality, there are 7. Why? Because number 6 is what they're doing, and number 7 is yet to come. Let's look at the first pillar. In the first pillar, it says here, the Shahada, Al-Shahada, which is to bear witness. And it is twofold witnesses. But that's not what they teach our children. They teach our children, Muslims believe. Everybody can believe whatever they believe. It's a free country, America. Muslims believe that there is no God but God. Excuse me, what? That is the Shahada? Yeah, and Muslims believe that Muhammad is a messenger of God. And if you say it one time in the Arabic language, behold, you are a Muslim. Wow. And when they say it in our public schools, in some schools in the Arabic language, our children giggle. Sound funny. It's Arabic sound funny. I like Arabic. And in some schools, like in California, they actually made the children to repeat it in the Arabic language, which automatically means these children are becoming Muslims. And then they jump them on the bus to do a school trip. To where? To the mosque. To teach them about the second pillar, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And not one atheist or not one liberal complained. And what is second is the Christian of California did not complain. They bear witness there is no God but Allah. And they bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. No, there is no God but God, but no God but Allah. And that itself is a false witness according to Islam. Not according to our constitution. According to Islam. Why? Because in Islam, to say I bear witness, you must use one of five senses the Lord gave to you. I bear witness that so-and-so killed so-and-so. Okay. Have you seen my eyes? Yep. You heard the bullet? Yep. I bear witness that the tea was so sweet. Did you drink it? Yep. You tasted it? Yep. You're a bear witness. And it was so hot because I hold the cup in my hand. You don't bear witness because somebody tell you. Christianity does not teach we bear witness, but we believe. But wait a minute. The Bible said, you are my witness. Yes, he was talking to his disciples. And those who saw him alive, those who ate and drank and touched him after the resurrection, they were true witnesses. But in Islam, there is no witness. Because they believe. No. There is no belief. That's why I said yesterday, nothing about Islam is really true belief. There's no belief in Islam. It's things to do. It's work. As a matter of fact, there is a verse, Quran chapter 3, verse 167, where Allah said, the bad ones said, we believe. I'm sorry, 14, chapter 49, verse 14. The bad ones said, we believe. And Allah corrects them, say, do not say we believe, but say we surrender, for faith never enter your hearts. So the first foundation of Islam is a falsehood. Why? Because nobody has seen Muhammad. Nobody has touched Muhammad. Nobody smelled Muhammad. Nobody has a clue who Muhammad is. As a matter of fact, when Muslims today, in the year 2020, know Muhammad, when they get to know Muhammad, they leave Islam. Reason number one, why Muslims leave Islam? Because they know Muhammad. Reason number two, why Muslims leave Islam? Because they study the Quran. The two simple facts which American people do not know. I'm in a Christian church, and I believe this is Christian believers, okay? Now, how many of you have read the Quran? Your hand up. My Quran. This is the true nature of the church in America. We know nothing. And people get upset when I say, when it comes to Islam, we are stupid. Oh, you don't say the word stupid in the church. Oh, if God uses it in the Bible, I sure can use it in the church. Five words in the Bible talk about stupid. I love Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 2, when Brother Azur said, I am more stupid than any man. Can you imagine with me, a wise man writing to us in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and he's calling himself more stupid than any man. And we the Americans, so smart, we got it all. Even though we know nothing about the topic. So here's the first belief. Listen to this guy.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu,
ashhadu,
an la ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
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 Wa ashhadu,
wa ashhadu,
anna Muhammadan,
hamadamadam,
anna
Muhammadan,
madamadam,
Muhammadan,
muadamadam,
Muhammadan.
The man cannot even say the word Muhammad. This is a famous soccer player who converted Islam, and all what he's saying is this. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah in Arabic. You know what he said in Arabic? He said, I bear witness that there is no God. So they quickly correct him. Illallah, except Allah. He said, oh, except Allah. Okay? And I bear witness that Muhammad, and I bear witness that Mudamdam, Mudahdam, Muhadham, Mudahdam. I mean, he gave every way you can say the word, and he could not say the word Muhammad. And in the end, they clap hand for him, and they hug him, and they kiss him, and congratulations, now we got a Muslim believer. It is a lie. Muhammad is not a prophet. Even if Bush said he's a prophet. And the proof is not just in the Bible, the proof is in the Quran. Listen to what Allah said in the Quran about who are the prophets. Okay? Quran chapter 45, verse 16.
And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the worlds.
Whom Allah gave the prophethood to the children of Israel. Was Muhammad one of the kids of Israel? No. Therefore, Muhammad cannot be a prophet. Let's go to Quran chapter 29 and verse 27. Who is the prophet according to Allah? Forget about the Bible. I'm talking about Islam itself.
And we granted him Isaac and Jacob, and we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants.
Where's Muhammad here? Gave is past tense. Assigned is the past tense. Allah already told us in the Quran that only the Jews, only the children of Jacob, only the descendants of Israel are the prophet. Where is Muhammad? Well, he's the son of Ishmael, and Ishmael is the son of Abraham, and therefore he is a prophet. No. The book says here what? Him is Abraham, Isaac. He didn't mention Ishmael and Isaac, but he starts with Isaac and Jacob. And by the way, Abraham have many sons, and Ishmael have nothing to do with the Arabs, because according to Genesis chapter 25, the first six verses, we know for sure that Keturah, the wife of Abraham, whom he married after the death of Sarah, was the mother of all the Arab ancestries. Arab did not came from Ishmael. Arab came from Keturah. In the same chapter, Genesis 18, you read about Ishmael and the 12 sons of Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, and we learn about they are called Ishmaelites, not Arabs. And by the way, the Arab live in the country of the east, and the Ishmaelites live between Havilah, which in front of Egypt, and Assyria, northern part of, if you look at the map, here is Israel, here is the Ishmaelite. If you look at the map, here is the Arab in the south down here. Two different people, two different locations, two different people group. And Muslim cannot tell us who is Muhammad's father. If you don't know your father, you cannot tie yourself to any people. Who is Muhammad's father? Abdullah. Really? Are you sure Abdullah is the father of Muhammad? Yes. But Abdullah died 3 years before Muhammad was born. So how can Abdullah be the father of Muhammad if he died 3 years before the son was born? The answer is very simple, as Muslim scholars always do. A mom in Islam can be pregnant up to 5 years. Therefore, Muhammad is the son of Abdullah. That is the teaching of the Quran and Sharia, Islamic Sunnah, and that's exactly what Muslims believe. Any mom can be pregnant up to 5 years. Welcome to Islam. Move on to the second pillar. Muslims pray. And they pray five times a day, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Aisha. These are the five times of the day where they pray. Now, we ask the question, why Muslims pray five times a day? According to the hadith, which is the saying of Muhammad. See, Muslims follow two books. The first book is the Quran, which is supposed to be the word of Allah, the new gospel given to Muhammad by the angel Gabriel. That's what Paul was warning us about 2,000 years ago. Now, the second word, or the second book, is the book of hadith. The word hadith means saying, the collection of the saying of Muhammad. Also, the collection of his action, what he used to do, and people observe him by seeing, and that's exactly what his sunnah is. Muslim practice what Muhammad used to do. Or Muslim practice what Muhammad says they have to do. In the hadith, not in the Quran, Muhammad made up the story where in it he said he was taken from his bed to Jerusalem, riding on a mule, I call it super, supersonic mule. And when he arrived to Jerusalem, he went to the Temple of Solomon and he got the rope. Have you seen the cowboys? He always gets the horse, gets the rope, and do a couple circle around something so the horse will not go away. Okay? Muhammad tied the rope of his mule in one of the columns of the temple. But wait a minute. The temple was already gone for over 500 years because it was destroyed 71. By the Romans, remember that? Muhammad did not that, does not know that. Muslims today do not know that the story of Muhammad is a lie by just listening to what Muhammad said. So he tied the mule to one of the columns which did not exist. And then he prayed. And all the prophets came and stood behind him. It's a miracle. Jesus was behind Muhammad. and Moses and David and Adam and Abraham, all of them standing perfect line, and they praise the Muslim prayers. And then Muhammad was accompanied by his angel, which Paul warned us about 2,000 years ago, to the seven heavens. Well, the Bible teaches there's only three. The heaven of the earth, the heaven, the sun, of the moon, the stars, the planets out there, and the third heaven where Jesus is, as Paul and John told us. Somehow Muhammad created four more heavens above the other three heavens. So he went to the seventh heaven. And there he met with Allah. He met with many people in different heavens. When he get to the seventh, he met with Allah. And Allah told him, you go down to earth and ask your Muslim believers to pray 50 times a day. That's 50, 50 times a day. He's going down. He's so excited about it. And he met with Moses. Some says in the fourth heaven. Some says in the fifth heaven. And Moses asked Muhammad, what did Allah say? Oh, he wants us to pray 50 times a day. We're going to go down and start on it. No. You go back to Allah and tell him 50 is too much. So he told him. He got it to 45. You go back to Moses. That's too much. 40, 35, 30. Every time he go between Moses and Allah, the number dropped. That's where Muslims learn about negotiation. There's nothing you can buy in the Muslim world until you negotiate. Even if the computer is worth $1,000 and the guy wants to sell it to you for $100, you say, will you take 50? It's part of their life anyway. So Allah and Muhammad negotiate the number of prayer, and the last thing is they drop it to 5, and Moses said, go for it. 5 is good. And he came to earth, back to his bed, and his bed still warm. There's so much about that story, is too many lies there. I won't have time to share it with you. But if that story is a lie, then Muslims have no right to keep the Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, because that mosque is built on the assumption that Muhammad did went there and pray. It is a mosque started by Muhammad himself. And if Muhammad never left his bed and he made up that story, which full of lies, I wish I had time to cover it, then everything about Muslims have the right to keep that mosque is a lie. Should be canceled completely. Muslims pray 5 times a day, and I wonder how many times we pray in every day as a Christian. Oh, we pray over our meal. Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Blessed, amen. I wonder why our children will not even follow our walk with Christ in their prayer, because we are less of prayers than our fathers and our ancestors used to be. They used to pray for real. Or just give God lip service. We have churches today in America cancel the Sunday evening service after canceling Wednesday evening, because what do you do on Wednesday evening? We go for a prayer meeting. We pray all the time, and we need to go to church to pray for an hour. Soon we're going to have no morning service in many of our churches because you can go online from your own comfortable bed. Third pillar in Islam is the pillar. By the way, when Muslims pray, once again, they have to pray in Arabic. Imagine with me that gentleman who became a Muslim who could not say the word Muhammad. He will memorize long prayer. We're going to talk about a little bit later tonight. He memorized prayer and he say it in the Arabic language without having a clue what he's saying. 87% of the Muslim people on the earth today do not speak Arabic language, do not understand Arabic language as much as you do not understand anything about the Arabic language. But they memorize the prayer in the Arabic language. I met with Americans, doctors, lawyers, Baptist ministers who became a Muslim, and they memorize the prayer in the Arabic language, and they repeat it 5 times a day and without having a clue what they're saying. Muslims' third pillar is the pillar of zakat. That is, in Muhammad days, they used to give 20% of the spoil. What is the spoil? That is the money they take from the Christians and Jews and idol worshippers and everybody else. So they kill the men and steal the money and steal the women and steal the children and steal their homes and land, as the Quran teaches all over. And then they give Allah and Muhammad 20%. And they call that good work. And they teach it to our children as good work. They did not tell our children that we're talking about here, the money is taken from the Christian Jew, but Muslims are giving because they're charitable, But where's the money come from? It doesn't matter. Can you imagine with me if we all go to some banks and rob the bank and give the church 20%? Wow. Is that need? The church will have enough fund to do ministry. It cannot do it that way. Now the Muslim gave 2.5% of their net income as zakat. And it is legal in America for Muslims to collect zakat. As a matter of fact, they collect zakat from Americans too. America love to do, help the mosque. You know what this money is used for? So the source of the money in Muhammad days was money stolen from Christian Jews and others after killing the men, after fighting the battle, spoil. Now the Muslim collecting money in America and they're spending this money to do what? To do jihad. And it's okay in America. As a matter of fact, we have a Holy Land Foundation case in Texas where we found out CARE and the other 29 Muslim jihad organizations in America were giving millions, 19 million, I believe the number was, to Hamas to buy a rocket to launch it to kill the Jews. And it was okay for some liberals in America to say that's nothing wrong. After all, this zakat, part of their worship. Think about it. Where's the money coming from? Where's the money spending to? But that's not what our children learn in our public schools. They're learning that Muslims are charitable. They love to give. Now, the question for us Christians, do you give? Do you give cheerfully? I'm getting sick and tired from watching what the church is doing in America. When they pass the dish, and the dish, I'm not kidding you. When my daddy came to visit me when he's still alive, I did not put him in the middle of the church. I put him all the way in the back or all the way in the front. And you ask, why? Because I'm afraid I'll be embarrassed when my daddy sees a dish go one pew all the way back, another time all the way back, and he's sitting in the 7 or 8 in a row, and then guess what? The dish is still empty. As a matter of fact, in some churches, they hold the dish like this, and the guy look around. If anybody's going to reach up, is his hand? Anybody going to reach up? Nobody? Nobody? Oh, here. Thank you, sister. Appreciate you. All right. And they go another 5 roll. And then another. What are we doing in our church today? We're not giving. We're not worshiping our giving. We are not even tipping God. And if somebody bought $1 or $5, and I say about it without any word, because you know what? I don't charge money for good speaking churches. Did they ask you for any money? No. Did I say you have to give me that amount? No. We do it for free. If people will give me love, offer, praise God. If not, I'm glad because the Lord will bless me from somewhere else. And if they have a dollar or five, they're crooked like this and put it. 20, they're going to fold it nicely. 100, they open it. That's exactly what Jesus warned us. Oh, all right. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Anytime. Do you tie? That's what we call tithe. How about offering? My daddy taught me never to go to the church without money in your wallet because there will be a time to worship through giving. It doesn't have to be big. I know some of you get a check in the end of the month, so you write one check to the church. But every time, make it a habit, every time the dish go by, you put a quarter. You know what a quarter is? It's the 2 pennies of the widow. It doesn't have to be much, but don't let the dish go in front of you empty. You don't go to Walmart or Kmart with no wallet, with money in it, do you? Teach it to your children. I taught it to my son. So we go to the church, and I smile. Hey, do you have money? No, Dad, I don't have. Okay, no problem. I get my wallet out, and I give him $5. And then, hey, do you have any money? He said, oh, no, Dad. So I give him the wallet, and I took all the fives and the ones out on purpose. So, hey, Dad, do you have 5? Why? Well, is this only 10s and 20s? That's okay. Just give the Lord whatever the Lord will give you. So you take a 20, take a 10. And then, I'm not kidding you, another time I took all the 10s out. And he does not have money. Hey, Dad, no, I'm not going to give. Why? You only have 20s. Muslims who worship the devil know how to build mosques in America. With a little giving from everybody in Egypt, poor people. And we, the American, do not know how to help the church in planet Earth. As a matter of fact, some churches in America cannot help to make their own bills because we're thieves. We're stealing God. Siyam, fasting. Oh, boys and girls in our public schools. We feel so sorry for all the Muslims who fast the entire month of Ramadan. I mean, you're talking about 20. By the way, Ramadan is going to start next week, okay? 28 or 29 days, all day long, they don't eat. And they fast all, and then they eat all night long. Do you know that Muslims never fasted a day in their life? Muhammad never fasted a day in his life. You know why? When did they start? When the sun go down. Biblically. Sun go down, that's a new day. When Muslims start eating? When the sun go down. So they eat at the beginning of the day. For how many meals? 3, 4, 5 meals. Muslims gain weight every month of Ramadan. Because they eat all night long, and they do not work all day long, all night long. And when it comes to the days, they don't work during the day because they're fasting. They're working hard during the whole year, but that's the month of Ramadan, fasting. To fast, the biblical fasting, is to stop of eating and drinking the 24-hour. That's one day fasting. From evening to the following evening. Changing the day to night, the night day does not do any different. So what? We all fast all night. How many of you eat during the night? After you sleep, how many go to sleep? You sleep and start eating. Anybody? Same thing. When you read the Bible and they fasted 3 days and 3 nights, even the animals in Nineveh, when Jonah went to Nineveh, the animal fasted. Go read the scripture. They took the food and the water from in front of the cows and the goats and the sheep and the camels. How did they fast? No food, no drink. I was in a church. Brother Usama, I was working in the church office. Brother Usama, tomorrow no food because tomorrow we're going to be fasting. Well, praise God. I'm glad the church do corporate fasting. Wow. So I go to the church in the morning and I praise God. I didn't eat at night. I'm going for the spirit of fasting. And then I went to the church and the secretary has a shake, chocolate shake. And the other guy have coffee. And the other, I said, wait a minute. I misunderstand. I said, are we fasting today or tomorrow? She said, no, today. We're all fasting today. Oh, Usama, we fast from solid food, but we can have drinks and juices and shakes and stuff like that. Are you kidding me? What kind of gospel is that? What kind of Christianity is that? Fasting from having the hamburger, but you can have the shake? Muslims claim to fast the month of Ramadan every year, but in reality, they do not fast. And the problem is not stop eating during the day and eating at night. The problem is they believe by doing that, they receive forgiveness for their sins. I'm sorry. You can fast all your life and you receive not one forgiveness for one sin. Because the Bible did not say the wages of sin is fasting. No, the wages of sin is what? Death. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You can fast all your life. And trust me, when you die, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Why? Because there is no forgiveness in fasting. Let's go to the next pillar, the pillar of Hajj. That is, you visit Mecca one time in your life. One time. I wonder how they're going to do it this year because of the disease of whatever disease you call it. 3.5 million will be surrounding that building, body touching body. Go in circles 7 times. You visit Mecca one time in your life, and all your sin, past, present, and future, all your sin are forgiven. How do you like that? How much truth in that? Why we allowed our children to learn these lies as if it is a true gospel from a true prophet, from a true angel? Even if you visit the empty tomb of Jesus, the Church of Resurrection, every holy city and holy spot in the middle, in Jerusalem, you cannot receive forgiveness of one sin. The only way you receive forgiveness of one sin is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Because the wages of sin is death. Dawah. That is invitation. The word dawah is invitation. So Muslims are inviting the Americans to Islam. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what they're doing. When you go to our public schools and read all these lies, they are brainwashing our children to make them believe in Islam. which is not the real Islam, but the joke Islam, the counterfeit Islam. They made up new Islam for you, the American people. We talk about da'wah, but Muslims practice da'wah. How many programs have you done in that church where in it you learn about how to share the gospel with somebody? I guarantee you plenty of programs through the years. How many of you are working to fulfill the Great Commission? As you go, make disciples. As you go. It doesn't matter what you do. Are you fulfilling the Great Commission in your life? Are you really sharing the gospel with people all the time? When the people say, oh, here you go, another guy from that church, he talk all the time about Jesus. No, we don't even move our lips. One of the songs which I hate is, the song is called Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. You know the song? Have you heard it before? I'm glad you don't even sing in the church. Praise God. Why do I hate that song? Because as we come out these doors, what we do in our life is, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, no, Lord. We don't want to care about what the Lord wants us to do. It's time for the church in America to rise up, to wise up, to do what is right, to share the gospel, just to be living in obedience to Christ's command. We talk about, oh, sharing Jesus without fear. When I saw that program, sharing Jesus without fear, I said, why somebody is afraid to share Jesus with others? Why? What is the title? And on and on and all these different programs. And hardly any of the churches, the believers of the churches, are willing to study and dig deep to know the scripture to be able to share the gospel with others. Now to go to the last pillar, which they will be doing in the future. They teach the first five, they're practicing number six, and their day is coming where Muslims will be practicing pillar number seven, which is the pillar of jihad. This is the most important pillar in Islam. You know why? As we're going to see even our study tonight, you can do all these things of Islam. You pray five times a day, you say the shahada, you give money, you fast Ramadan, you visit Mecca, you convert thousands of Americans to Islam, and when you die, you still go to hell. But if you die while performing jihad, this is the only guarantee for Muslims to make it to paradise, the paradise of Islam.
You and I sitting here, in their interpretation, I should take out a sword, put it on your neck and say, do you accept Islam or not? And if you don't, I cut off your head. That's what a jihadist would do.
People see us as extremists because we don't compromise the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We accept it with every word and every utterance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no Muslim can turn away from one ayah of the Quran, one verse of the Quran. If we don't accept this, we actually become disbelievers.
We must prepare to die now, but to take vengeance upon these Zionist Jews is our right. Allah has given us the right to defend ourselves.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned jihad in the Quran 26 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned qital fi sabilillah 79 times. Qital fi sabilillah is fighting by a physical fighting.
So what we see here, two videos. The Muslim imam and that wonderful Muslim believer. By the way, he's teaching the sermon in the streets of London. Not in a mosque, in a secret place. No, it is openly. The day will come in America. Listen to me, church. The day will come in America and you hear the same message by Muslim imams all over America. The same imams who's telling you, we believe in Jesus, we love Christians, we believe in Moses, we love the Jews, Judaism and Islam and Christianity is three branches of Abraham and we all love one another. Same imams gives them 20 years from now in America. They'll be teaching the same message. We must prepare ourselves to die for Allah. The first imam said, in their interpretation, and the guy in PBS, this British broadcast, were excited because he got the good imam now. He said, that's not the true Islam. It's just some radical interpretation. What the other guy said here? He said, we cannot compromise the word of Allah. So interpretation to what? If I will meet with the first gentleman who met the first imam from Saudi Arabia, I will give him a few verses. I said, why don't you read these verses to that good Muslim imam and tell him, here's what Allah said. Here's what Allah said. Here's what Muhammad said. How you interpret it otherwise? That's what happened on Fox in America. Fox News bring Muslim speakers to tell us that these people are doing evil, saying bad things, but these are not the Muslims. These are the radicals, because Islam is love, Islam is peace, and that's how we end the program every time. Every time Fox bring a Muslim imam, show them the problem, and I got videos to share with you. They ended with, this is just a culture. This is what the radicals do, but that's not Islam. And we say, oh, thank you, Jesus, praise God. I thought that's what Muslims believe, because they are useful idiots. The media in America are a bunch of useful idiots. They're used by the Muslims to brainwash not just the little one in our public schools, but even you, the adult. Oh, that's not Islam. These are the radicals. He said, we don't compromise the word of Allah. If we do, we become infidels. We're talking about 26 verses in the Quran where Allah orders the Muslim believers to perform jihad. Now, which one of you this morning can stand up and quote me two or three? Quote me a verse in the Quran where Allah orders the Muslim people to perform jihad. And you are the Christian. You are the light. You are the salt. And you know nothing. And it's been 19 years since September 11. The Muslim quadrupled their numbers in the last 19 years. And we, the American, know nothing about who these people are. As a matter of fact, some of my Baptist churches, some of the people in my Baptist church are Democrat. And they stop me from going to speak in these churches because I say Democrat as the open door for the Muslim to take over America through all these different programs which invented by Bush and Trump, started by Bush. You know why nobody called Bush a hate monger or Islamophobic or a racist? Because why? He was in war in two countries, Iraq and Afghanistan. He was bringing Muslims to America in the hundreds of thousands. So he proved it in action that he's not against all the Muslims. He just got in war with Al-Qaeda. He's in war with the Taliban. But besides that, he loves the Muslim people, and he proved it. What Obama did? Quadrupled the number of Muslims. After September 11, before September 11, we used to have 100 mosques. After September 11, we have 1,000 mosques. What happened? We used to have 2 million. Now we got 16 million. What happened? Well, the church is not here. We're in a coma. See, I used to teach the church is asleep. I said, why in the world do I lie in God's house? You are no longer asleep. Trust me. The church, I'm talking about the conservative. Because if you are not conservative this morning, you would not have had me to speak to you. Trust me. Plenty of liberals would say, no, thank you. Goodbye. I got a Baptist liberal preacher. She threw me outside the building for having an interview. I was talking with her. And she said, out. She walked with me out. Let's open the door. Out. Because I said, Islam is a savage cult. Because I don't love our enemy as Jesus taught us, as we read in the scripture. How do you love the Muslims? Send them to hell. And by the way, send your children with them to hell. That's how we love the Muslims. That's not love, that's hate. So he will not compromise the word of Allah, and he knows there are 26 verses teach jihad, plus 79 verses teach war. He said physical war, to kill. So it is not in his interpretation. It is in the word of Allah. It is in the command of Muhammad. And it's time for us as Christian Americans to learn these truths, to use it, to show it to the Muslims. Because as I said, I repeat again, 87% of the Muslims do not know these things which we are learning here today. And if we do not know it, how can we share it with them? And if they never heard it from us, how can they know that we have a problem with Islam? And how can they come to Christ as Lord and Savior?
And do not consider those who were killed for the sake of Allah as dead, yet they are alive with their Lord, receiving their provision.
Yes, indeed. All those who die for the sake of Allah, all those who die while performing jihad, are the only one who will guarantee the provision, the eternal paradise in Islam. You can do all the things of Islam, and you still go to hell. But when you do jihad, when you die for the sake of Allah, you get to paradise. He'll give you another evidence.
Those who believed and emigrated and performed jihad for the sake of Allah, with their money and with their lives, of the highest degree with Allah, and those are the triumphant.
Notice here that verse is repeated in the Quran 11 times. Same words. Can you imagine reading John 3:16, for God so loved the world, in the Bible, 11 times? Same verse. Allah repeats that verse. So they are number one believer. They're not radicals. They're not extremists. Those who believed. Number two, they're immigrant. That's why they go to America. They immigrate for the sake of Allah. Number three, they perform jihad.
They will abide in it forever and ever. And those who were...
Let me take 10 minutes in this portion here. There are plenty of verses. I'm skipping these verses because just get my red book outside, a small red booklet, or that's a powerful book. We're going to talk about it later at the end of our show tonight, Lord's willing. But read the Quran. You'll find literally 79 verses about war, 26 about jihad, and a bunch more about killing and blah, 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 and others. Anyway, what does the Quran teach? When Brother Jim asked me to do, this is the second subtitle, I said, whoa, Jim, you want me to talk about what does the Quran teach in what, 10 minutes? He said, yeah, 15. Because you only have 90 minutes, okay? So I'm giving you a small sample. I mean, just open your eyes a little bit. Open your eyes. Can you see? That's it. You need to study on your own. You need to read on your own. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But let's see. What does the Quran teach about the Bible? Do you know that all the Muslims in planet Earth believe that the Bible has been changed? The Bible has been corrupted. As a matter of fact, your children in America today believe that the Bible has been corrupted. Says who? Says the textbooks in our public schools. I'm not kidding you. Have me back. And I teach you the lies they teach our children in public schools. You will have a heart attack. But the Quran actually does not teach that. And that's the beauty about using the Quran to minister to Muslim people. Not because we believe in it, but because they believe in it.
Muhammad said that the Bible cannot be changed.
Why? Because you see, the Bible is the word of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, none can change the words of Allah. When Allah gave the Torah to Moses, it was his word. When Allah gave the gospel to Jesus, as Muslims claim, it was Allah's word. And since it is Allah's word, and Allah said, none can change the word of Allah, that means the Bible, which was given to Moses, is the same Bible we have today. The book of Zabur, the book of the Psalms, which was given to David, literally 3,000 years ago, it's the same book of David which we have in our Bible today, because none can change the word of Allah.
Surely we have sent down the reminder, and surely we will be its guardian.
And there are plenty of other verses we use in our green small booklet, The Straight Way to Eternal Life, and if you get our DVD, Has the Bible Been Corrupted, you get an hour and a half out of this point. Material from the Quran, which we use to prove to the Muslim that the Bible is the perfect word of God. What does the Quran teach about God?
Muhammad taught that God is unknowable and unapproachable. He is only to be feared.
And I'm not talking about fear of reverence, because we fear God. The Bible talks about fearing God, but I'm talking about fear of His, the severe fear of Allah. Listen
and
to this
fear
verse.
Fear Allah. And know that Allah is severe in the punishment.
See, Allah is not the loving God. Allah is not the friend of us. Allah is not the God who cares about us. But Allah is the one who is waiting for us to make one mistake so He can strike us down. You better fear Allah. God and Allah. Does the word God is or equal to the word Allah? Yes, absolutely. It's actually also equal to the word Deus in the Spanish language. It's the title God. Does the word teacher equal to the word Ustaz? Yes. Does the word president equal to the word Ra'is? Yes. Does the word doctor in Arabic language equal to the word doctor in English? Yes. These are titles. In my Bible, in the Arabic language, I have, for Allah so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the question we need to ask is not, does the word Allah is the same word, the word God, but is the Allah of Islam is the same Allah of Christianity? Because each and every one of us have a God. The Bible talks about God, singular, gods, plural. That does that mean there's really many gods? No. Anything, listen carefully, and any and everything you put before God in your life, it become your God. You can have a spouse as God. You can have children as God. You can have your golf as God or the fishing as God. And you do it on Sunday. You know? Because and people say, well, I don't have to be in the church to be a Christian. I can worship God on the ocean, catching fish and praise him all morning. Yep. In their head. Why? Because you cannot be a Christian unless you are the church. You cannot part of your body unless you're attached. You cut your small toe out, put it in a dish in your living room, and smell it in a few days. Don't forget about the pain of cutting your toe, but smell it. You'd be a dead, not a church, not a Christian. You'd be a dead person. So, do Muslims worship the same God we Christian in Egypt worship by the name Allah? It's the same word. God is Allah, Allah is God. The answer is not. Remember, I just quote you a verse. For God so loves the world. For Allah loves the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Allah, the God of Islam, does not have a son. Allah, the God of Islam, did not send his son to die on the cross. But that God here, that Allah, the God of Christianity, he have a spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he have a son. His name is Jesus. And that Jesus was sent to die on the cross for our sins. Professor Ahmed Chalabi wrote a book by the title Islam. In that book, he said,
Beloved, let us.
The names of God, as Muslims see it, come directly from the Quran. Therefore, Muslims cannot call him God of love simply because God did not describe himself as the God of love.
Does this make Allah, the God of Islam, the same Allah as the God of the Christian of the Arab world? Or of Egypt? Of course not. This is the opinion of Muslims. And it's true. By the way, when you read the Quran, you find that Allah have 99 names. Notice I'm not saying Allah is one of the names of God in Islam. No. Allah, the word, the title God in Islam, have 99 names. Not one of them is called love. That itself, it means that Allah is not the name of God in the Arabic language. It's just the title God. In the Arabic language. How about the Bible?
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
It can't be any clearer than that. My God, my Allah in Egypt, what I speak in Arabic language, is a loving God. He's a loving father. He loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who is the creator of all things, who became flesh 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for my sin. Muslims do not understand that. Why? Because their Allah is not God. If you have time, maybe this afternoon, and you're not tired of listening to me already, go online or sometime next week and search for Allah is Satan, Jesus is God. Allah is Satan, Jesus is God. That is a debate I did a few years ago with three Muslim imams in the Gulfport, Mississippi. By the way, the leader of the team, Brother Dawood Salam, is now a Christian brother. After doing the debate led him to the Lord. And so is many Muslims who watch the debate. You know what I did in that debate? I went through the Quran and I got four different categories. Things and the nature and the attributes and the things, the teaching of Allah in the Quran, which lead us to believe that Allah is Satan. I can quote you a verse from the Quran and take the word Allah out and I put the word Satan. It's the same verse. And it's the same verse. So I was confused. I said, who said that? Was it Allah or Satan? You say, that's Satan. I said, no, actually, it is Allah. Who did that? Oh, that's the devil. No. Actually, that is Allah. So the conclusion is Allah is Satan using the Quran. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. But sadly, once again, they teach our children in our public schools today that Muslims worship the same God we Christian and Jewish believe in. I wonder, what is the future of America when these kids who've been studying now for 16 and 17 years becoming senators, becoming congressmen and women, becoming governors, becoming the leaders of this country? You don't understand. When Muslims take your children in your public schools, they actually take in your country. The entire country. Now, do you know the loving God? Do you know that God is love? Do you know about the love of God? Do you know about the redemption? Are you a Christian or you are just another group of some other club? We got Baptist, Presbyterian, and Lutheran. We got lots of different clubs. This is called Bible Club. Is it Bible Club or are you truly born-again Christians? I was watching a video last, I was reading actually online last week, and that priest is mocking the idea of Christian do this born again. He said, you don't need to be born again. You need to grow up. Christian need to grow up. I said, how can you grow up as a Christian if you are not born, if you didn't even exist in Christ? Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, Nicodemus, grow up. Nicodemus, find yourself a good Baptist church and join it. No, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Are you a born again Christian? In simple words, do you remember the time and the place where you got saved? Time and place, time and place. See, born first. None of us is born in the air. We're born in some place. You know that? And you're not born in out of space or out of time. You were born in specific time. I need a mama. Are you a mama? Do you have any children? Who is your oldest? Kristen. Where Kristen was born? In what town? In hospital home. What's the name of the hospital? And what time he was born? 9:40 in the morning, in the evening. Can you imagine? I never met my dear sister here. Can you imagine if I ask her, do you have any children? And she said, hey, honey, do we have any kids? Oh, yeah, we have. Okay. And then I ask her, where he was born? Oh, probably something. That was a long time ago. I can't remember. Hey, oh, it was in here. It was at home at the hospital. At the hospital, okay. Oh, it's a hospital, Brother Usama. We think of her as crazy or drunk because there is no way a mama who get pregnant and the first 3 months eat and throw up, 3 months. And then she can hold the food, praise God. Now she can feed the baby. And then she goes through the labor. No pain at all. You just go to the hospital and baby come out and you come home in the same time, in a minute. No, they go through suffering. They go through the pain of birth. No way a mama goes through all that, and 50 or 100 years later, you ask her, do you have any children? She said, I don't know. I can't remember. Now, do you remember the time and the place where you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember the time when you were born again? Because if not, you're just a good Baptist, a good Bible church, whatever denomination you're going to go to. You must be born again. You must believe in the God who loves. And how do we know God loves us? That's when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down the cross for our sin. And that redemption, it means nothing unless you accept it. It's a true story. I don't remember the name of the president. I don't remember the name of the criminal. But one of your president, you can go online and find it. I can give it to you this afternoon. The Lord give me the thought right now. One of the president, he actually pardoned 128 people. He pardons him. And the guy who was born is supposed to be hung. And he said, no, I don't want to be this born. I don't want it. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court come up with this judgment. The redemption, pardoning of the president is just a piece of paper. Unless the person receive it, it will have no effect. And they hung that man. Redemption is offered. The blood of Jesus was shed 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, it was shed before the foundation of the world. You're here right now. You have the greatest opportunity to be set free from you. You have the privilege to be set free from your sin, from the most worst enemy you have is you. And you can leave this building empty as you came in, or you can leave a born-again Christian. And that's when you know for sure you have eternal life. Well, Brother Sam, I'm in the church all my life. You know what? There will be preachers standing before Jesus. And they will say, we preach in your name, Lord Jesus. We perform miracles in your name, Lord Jesus. We cast demons in your name, Lord Jesus. Say, oh, I'm sorry. Come on in. I missed you. No. He will say, away from me, you evildoers. I do not know you. You know who are these? Maybe these are you who are sitting here and you will not give your heart to Jesus to be a born-again Christian. Let's pray. And Father God, we give thanks to you, for you are so loving. You did not love us with words, but you love us with your Son. You did not redeem us with gold and silver, but you redeemed us with your with his precious blood. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray. With the power of your Holy Spirit right now, if there is one person in this meeting who do not know you as Lord and Savior, may he or she cry out to you, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And they will celebrate the new birth, and they will become a children of a living God. We love you and we praise you. We're about to leave this house, Lord Jesus, but from your loving face and your wonderful grace, may we never leave. And it is in Christ's holy name alone we pray. Amen.